From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Rauspeño with your state and local news update. After a year unlike any other, teachers, students, and parents across the country are hoping for a less surprising school year this fall. But before starting anew, some families are looking for ways to make up for this year's challenges. As KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, the Juneau School District is offering an expanded summer school program.
JSD has offered summer school in the past. High school students were able to participate in credit recovery, special needs students could sign up for an extended school year, and there were a few programs for elementary students. But Ted Wilson, the district's director of teaching and learning support, says in recent years, the summer school program hasn't been nearly as big as they're expecting it to be in the coming months.
Once it's all said and done, practically every school and program in the district will have hosted some aspect of summer school. We'll have more capacity for both our special ed students and our general education students than we might have other summers.
Several sessions will be offered at different schools across all grade levels throughout June and July. At the elementary level, teachers have identified students that could benefit from a little extra time and invited them to participate in summer programs. Middle school sessions are open to any 6th, 7th, or 8th grader who wants to apply. High schools are offering more sessions than they typically do, prioritizing students who need to complete credits first and admitting other students as space allows. Most programs will focus on language arts, math, and science, but some art and PE options are available as well. Wilson says the district is using funds from the American Rescue Plan Act to make those sessions possible.
It is 100% funding the middle school, and it's funding about half of the elementary school effort. It's helping with the high school effort, although the high schools often provide a lot of what they're going to be doing.
That will be combined with a few other available grants, and the district is also setting aside money for summer school in 2022. Yvette Perez has a 10-year-old son at Mendenhall River Community School. As a single mom, she says it was hard to keep her son on track this year.
Try to juggle between, okay, you need to do homework, but at the same time, I need to be on meetings or you know, on interviews or conferences and this. So for me, it was really hard trying to, you know, make a schedule and sit down with him for like 4, 5, 6 hours a day.
Perez says her son fell behind in math and will be using the June and July summer sessions to catch up.
He was doing okay. He was like on a regular level, I would say, not like really, really smart. But when this past year that, you know, they stayed home during the homeschool session, that's when he completely dropped. Like he literally kind of like, I think, forgot everything, or kind of like it was completely different for him not having a teacher in front of him to explain things.
Alyssa Cadiente Lady Blattner has a 6-year-old in a specialized program for students with autism at Riverbend Elementary School. She says while most students attended school virtually, her son Aiden was unable to.
Aiden doesn't like using the computer and he won't engage. So we've tried doing Zoom before and he didn't want to be on the computer. He'd run away from it.
Aiden also lost a lot of his service hours where he'd get speech therapy or time with a special education teacher. The extended school year will help him catch up on those hours. Blattner says she's hoping the next year will be better both for his education and his social interaction.
He's not able to tolerate wearing a mask as long as his peers in general education are. So Aiden has actually spent the majority of his time at school in his specialized classroom. I don't think he's been in his general education classroom at all. So that is concerning because he hasn't had that social interaction with his peers.
Recruitment for summer school is still underway, but some elementary programs are already at capacity. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
In other news, Alaska will join at least 12 other states in opting out of extra federal benefits for unemployed workers, citing workforce shortages. The withdrawal will end a $300 weekly payment that was added under the Federal Pandemic Unemployment Compensation Program passed by Congress last year. It's paid in addition to regular state unemployment insurance benefits. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has this story.
Alaska has seen a surge in new jobs in the last few months, and state officials say they're trying to fill them with at least some of the 36,000 people who are getting unemployment benefits in the state. To do that, the Dunleavy administration is joining several other Republican-led states in opting out of a federally funded program that pays an extra $300 a week to Alaskans who are out of work. They argue that the extra money is discouraging people from taking jobs. Department of Labor Commissioner Tamika Ledbetter said during a Friday press conference that labor officials decided to cut off that extra aid after talking to employers and the business community.
It is time for Alaskans who are able and available to go to work to do so.
But economists and policymakers are pushing back on that. They say that this is a complex problem that doesn't have a simple fix. First, a quick look at the data. There is always a surge in available jobs this time of year. Sometimes employers fill them with Alaskans. Other times, as is the case in the tourism industry in Southeast, communities are inundated with out-of-town workers for the season. A new report from the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation shows that, as of Tuesday, there are more than 19,000 jobs available in the state. At the top of that list, registered nurses. The state is looking for them at something like 1.5 times the national average, and there are at least 600 unfilled positions. But there's also demand for retail sales, stockers, maintenance and repair people, and fast food workers. Anchorage economist Musin Gatabi says it's not surprising to see that kind of a spike. It's great news that it happened at all. There wasn't much of a bump in job numbers last year as the state locked down during the COVID-19 pandemic. But Gatabi also says that trying to force people to take those jobs by cutting their benefits may not be the best tool for the job.
Cutting unemployment insurance is a fairly blunt instrument that tries to essentially make aid less generous than work.
There are other ways to get people to return to work. In an ideal world, Gatabi says policymakers could make work more attractive.
You could potentially keep unemployment insurance as is, and then provide some return to work bonus.
In Montana, which also opted to cut off those extra federal payments, policymakers have added a return to work benefit. Alaska labor officials said Friday that they aren't planning on offering anything like that. Gatabi and other state economists say that while there are some people who are making enough in unemployment benefits to completely cover income from the jobs they lost, that is not the whole problem. Still, Gatabi says employers could also sweeten the deal, bumping up wages so that workers could earn more than they're currently making on unemployment.
And that way, you could potentially get the people that were staying home because unemployment insurance was more attractive back to work, but you would also accommodate the people that are staying home for different reasons.
Employers in other parts of the country are offering cash bonuses, sometimes in the thousands of dollars, to incentivize people to come to work. Other places are offering money if you show up for a job interview or expanding benefits. Even with those perks, there are other factors keeping people out of the labor market in Alaska. Ledbetter acknowledged that when she announced she was cutting the program.
For those Alaskans still burdened by lack of childcare or transportation or other issues, I understand the challenges. This period has been like no other in our history. However, unemployment insurance is a temporary support system.
Several lawmakers said Friday that this is not the right time to cut benefits and pointed to data showing that increased unemployment benefits led to increased consumer spending during the pandemic. Those extra federal payments will end in Alaska on June 12th. An extension of regular unemployment benefits will continue until September when the federal program expires. From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Now in politics, legislators and others in the Capitol are no longer required to wear face masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Legislative Council voted unanimously to replace the requirements with a more limited set of rules. Masks became optional, though there are exceptions if individual legislators require them for their offices. Soldotna Republican Senate President Peter Michicki was eager to address mask policy opponent Senator Laura Reinbold immediately after the vote.
If I may, Senator Reinbold, you could remove your mask now.
Lawmakers cited a new Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidance for fully vaccinated people in making the change. The new policy covers everyone in the Capitol, including those who are unvaccinated. The policy change also dropped a requirement that unvaccinated people undergo weekly tests for the coronavirus. The tests are now a recommendation. The legislature hasn't changed the rule that closed the Capitol to members of the public. The building has been limited to lawmakers, legislative aides, news reporters, and some state employees. For more on this and other stories, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.